Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It is our Tuesday show for this week, the week of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Ryan Ballingy, thanks for being here. We're going to go over the model for this week, and we'll talk a little bit about current form, horse for course type stuff. We'll get you all ready for the end of the PGA Tour, West Coast swing, at least part in California. Before we take a break, go to Arizona, then come back to California. I don't know why they don't just kind of do all the way through, other than now they're both signature events, but nevertheless, we got a good field this week. Tyrrell Hatton is officially gone from the field. We're recording this 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern time on Tuesday. Hatton did get withdrawn from the field when it was announced that he did sign with LIV. He is going to be on John Rahm's team, and that team is going to be called Legion 13. We will talk about that a little bit on tomorrow's episode once we get all the odds for whatever this is going to be LIV golf-wise at Mayakoba. Because interestingly enough, we really still don't, I mean, I haven't seen the full field list yet. I don't know the full field list yet, although we do have one here on, oh, there you go. We do have one at DraftKings, so we will talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But suffice to say, the field's changed by one person, so the person that replaces Tyrrell Hatton in this field is Hayden Buckley. This is the only signature event that has a fixed field size. It has 80 players because there have to be 80 pros to have 80 AMs and have your two-day pro-am. The other signature events do not have alternates. None of the other ones do. So this is the only time this is going to work out for Hayden Buckley or anyone else. It's also the only time it'll work out because there's not going to be a, you know, additional LIV signings. Like, this is your one and only time to get this done. So this is it. But nevertheless, let's get back to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We're going to go over the model for the week, and then we'll go into current form, course fit, horse for courses, and go through all of that. So let's start with the model. So as we have talked about, we have had 4 for 4 triple digit winners so far this year on the PGA Tour. 150-1, anywhere from 350 to 500-1, 300-1, another 125 or 150-1, depending on where you got the number at and what the closing number was, all that stuff. So if you had managed to roll all of this over on a $10 bet, holy cow, you worth an insane amount of money. You would be worth more than Jeff Bezos at this point. It would be in the mega billions of dollars, and you've been able to get 4 out of 4 to start the year. And you wouldn't need this podcast. But I don't think anybody got more than one right. And if you got the one right, it was probably Chris Kirk or Grayson Murray. You might have gotten Pavon. He played well at the Sony Open. But, man, if you got more than one, bravo to you. Good for you. So let's go over the model for the week. Let's keep some things in mind. One, a lot of these players have not played Pebble Beach in this tournament. They may have played it in the 2019 U.S. Open. They may have played it in some other capacity, but they haven't played in this tournament. So the things they're not familiar with are, they probably haven't played Spyglass Hill, even though it's one round. They also haven't probably played a 5.5 hour, 6 hour round in this format, which you kind of expect in a pro-am for the first 2 days. And the players that do have good experience here have played against relatively weak fields the last couple of years. So you've seen maybe anywhere from 10 to 15 of the top 50 in the official World Golf Ranking competing in this field the last 3 or 4 years. Now you've got 42 of them, 41 of them. Just to keep that in mind, you're playing against much better depth. So when we talk a little bit later about horses for courses and players that have finished well in this event, that is a very important asterisk in evaluating player. That all said, let's go over the top 10 for this week. Scottie Scheffler, number 1. Patrick Cantlay, number 2. They are very close. Rory McIlroy, number 3. Those are the only guys above averaging a 2 points, which is, in my metric system, really good. Incredible. Number four is Xander Schauffele. Five, Max Homa. Victor Hovland, six. Jordan Spieth, seven. Sungjae Im, eight. Matt Fitzpatrick, nine. Justin Thomas, 10. That all kind of tracks. Number 11 is Denny McCarthy. He has played very well in this event the last 2 years. Top 15 finishes in both. Number 12 is Colin Morikawa. Number 13 is Keith Mitchell. Again, great finishes here the last 2 years. He gets basically bonus points on top of him being a good golfer. So that's why he's in there. Some people of interest you may care about. Ludvig Åberg, 15. Tony Finau, 18. Nick Taylor, and I'm going to come back to him, 24. Bo Hostler, 26. So some players I just wanted to point out there and one other guy I want to point out that we're going to come back to is Kurt Kitayama at 31. I'll throw in Tom Dietrich at 32. And I mentioned both of those guys because the weather forecast looks awful. Looks absolutely terrible for the entire week. Supposed to be quite rainy and quite windy over the course of the 4 days. The wind, especially on Thursday and Sunday, there's a really good chance that this thing spills over into Monday. Really good. If it rains enough or is windy enough, they'll just stop it. Because especially if it's on Thursday, Friday, if it's brutal wind, they will just cut it off. Because for the AMs, it's not going to be fun. It's already bad enough for the pros playing in that kind of weather, but they're good enough to control their ball. An AM is just going to be in their pocket all day, or they're going to be hacking it around, and it's not going to be worth it. So I would suspect prepare for a Monday finish. Just putting that out there. That all said, before they get to the calling it point, you're probably going to have players who are going to have to play in this stuff. And some players I really like in the wind are Tom Dietrich and Kurt Kitayama. I will also add in Maverick McNealy, who is in this field as well. He's 33rd in my ranking. He's been playing some better golf lately. It seems like he might be figuring things out coming back from injury. He's played in this event quite well historically, so he knows how to play this golf course. He knows how to play this event pretty well. I think that's something to be said for that. And then Brian Harman is 34th. I know we've talked about him already. I will throw him out there as a potential great play as well, even though he doesn't patronize this tournament. But he does very well in windy situations, can play in that kind of brutal, difficult golf and just play his game, particularly on a course like Pebble Beach that's under 7,000 yards. So the wind will affect every player. But in a weird way, it feels like the wind affects a longer player more because they're used to hitting wedges and short irons in. Shorter players are used to hitting longer clubs anyway. And personally, I think after a 7-iron, It really doesn't feel that different for a professional golfer hitting a 6-iron, 5-iron, 4-iron, 3-iron. Once you get to like fairway woods, then it is different. But in those long irons, mid irons, they're practically the same club for those guys. So I see some benefit in all of that. So that's the model. That's the long-term model. Do want to look at the short-term results set as well here. And if you go over to golfnewsnet.com, head over to our golf betting and fantasy golf page. It's much cleaner. Looks great. If you're a member for $40 a year, you get access to all of our tools. It's right there on the page. No menu using. Just get right to it. So if you want to look at the short-term model, so that, again, that's our last 10 events played. So we're digging back a little bit into the fall of last year. But in terms of players in this field, the players you want to look at in terms of quality strokes gained or total strokes gained, you want to look Colin Morikawa. Playing great golf consistently. It's not his best golf ever, but the times he has played has been very good. Matt Kuchar's in there. Sungjae Im is in there. Grayson Murray's in there. Justin Thomas is in there. Bo Hostler is in there. Bo Hostler played some very good golf this fall, and he had a very good overall, maybe probably his best season on the PGA Tour. He has a good record in this tournament. If you're thinking about a deeper shot, there's your man. Kurt Kitayama, playing great. Gets weaker fields and decent fields. Like him a lot. Ben Ahn's in there. Adam Scott's in there. Eric Cole's in there. Matthew Pavon. Sepp Straka. Those guys are all in there. Another guy I want to point out, Taylor Montgomery. Taylor Montgomery had a horrid second half of the year last year. He is off to a great start this year. Finished the year well at the RSM. He's got three top 15 finishes in the last five PGA Tour events played. He is playing good golf. And I don't know whether it's something was wrong and he figured it out, or he's just a good early season guy. A good fall guy. I don't know. But something is going right for Taylor Montgomery. Max Homa is playing well. Nick Taylor's playing well. Brian Harman's playing well. Ludovic Aubert's playing well. Got a lot of players who are playing good, solid golf right now. So I would strongly urge you to look at some of these guys. Many of them show up in the top 10 of the ranking. A couple don't, and I did want to point out a couple of those guys, like Nick Taylor, who's played well in this event, Taylor Montgomery, who's played well in general recently, Adam Hadwin, who's played well in this event sometimes, Adam Svensson, again, Canadian, playing well, Keegan Bradley playing well. Now, the other thing I look at here in our short-term model, which looks at the last 10 events played, I look at quality of approach play, and you don't have too many players in this range that are getting at least two-thirds of a stroke on average per round on the approach. Part of that is because a lot of the events we didn't get official shot link data for because they had duplicative event. It was a nomenclature thing. But keep this in mind. So far, at least the start of the year, Adam Schenck is playing great on the approach. He is struggling with the putter. Well, guess what? Everyone's going to struggle with the putter. But if he's playing a great approach game this week, he's going to work it out. I like him a lot as a long shot, and I've seen him mention other places in that 170, 175 to 1 range. Really do like him as a potential long shot here. Sun J.M. playing elite approach play. Keith Mitchell playing elite approach play. Again, not the best overall because he's struggling off the tee, and around the green he is horrid, but these are small greens. So if you're hitting the target pretty well with your approach play, then you don't have to worry as much about that. If you're missing the targets, that bet will go downhill very quickly. But he seems like this venue, likes this tournament. I like his chances. Keegan Bradley's playing very well on the approach as well. So wanted to point those guys out as some potential longer shots. They're all in the 100, 150, 175 to 1 range. I think you do have a very strong chance for that given the weather forecast. If the weather were perfect and there were nothing wrong, you'd look right at the chalk and go, all right, all the guys who have great approach play and are the better players are going to do well, and they're going to storm it. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen here because of the weather forecast and the potential to go to Monday. So keep that in mind there. Then also wanted to look a little bit at course fit and horses for courses. You can also use our cheat sheet, which is great. It's super helpful. It's got every player in the field, their results in this tournament in the last 5 years, if they've played them, their results in the last five PGA Tour events in terms of finish and strokes gained to the field. Then if you look at their ranking in our overall model, so every player is ranked in the model, and as well as their odds and their DraftKings price. So you can just line it all up very easily. It's a really handy thing to have. I know other people have something similar, but you can check that out. And then I also wanted to point out strokes gained variance, tee to green. So variance, I think, is a very important thing because that tells you the consistency of a player's their scoring. So look at Matthew Pavon. He has one of the highest averages of strokes gained tee to green in the last 30 PGA Tour events. One, he hasn't played all of them. He's played very few. But the variance is high because he was incredible in one, really good in another, and then not so great in the third. High variance, right? But if you look at someone like Patrick Cantlay or Victor Hovland, who are fourth and fifth on this list of strokes gained tee to green average, they have relatively low variance. So that's a good thing for them. Russell Henley, very low variance, very strong tee to green. Same thing, Colin Morikawa, very low variance, strong tee to green. Xander Schauffele, Ben Ahn, all guys that are playing good golf. Siwoo, actually, Steven Yeager, relatively low variance. Adam Schenck, relatively low variance. Guys you want to think about this week because they are more consistent. You want a consistent ball striker in gross weather and wind because they're going to hit the ball better than their peers who might be a little bit more prone to flailing about. So just keep all of that in mind. Now I want to talk a little bit about horses for courses and current form. We do that in a post every week on the site. That's actually free and available to everybody. It's just kind of a service type thing. I mean, it's very helpful to kind of do this research in one spot. There are a lot of players in this field. who have multiple top 15 finishes the last five PGA Tour events. Ludwig, Benon, Eric Cole has three. Harris English has two. Played very well at the start of the year. Kind of sneaky. Ben Griffin's been playing well. He had a top eight at RSM and T9 at the American Express. Maybe that's a guy flying under the radar a little bit. RSM usually is susceptible to the wind, but wasn't this year because Ludwig just crushed it in perfect golf conditions. Adam Hadwin's playing well. He had two top 15s in the first three starts, first three tournaments of the year. Russell Henley's playing well at Sony Open. Small greens. Just saying. Max Homa playing well. Taylor Montgomery, we mentioned him. Matthew Pavon. JT Poston continues to play great golf. This should line up pretty well with how he sees golf. Smaller targets, smaller greens, classic golf should work out well for JT Poston. And the other guy I want to point out is Kevin Yu, who got into this field on the back of being in the Swing Five, which basically the five guys who get the most FedEx Cup points in the regular events between signature events. Third place, the Amex, sixth of the Farmers Insurance Open. Playing good golf, West Coast guy. Guy to strongly consider here this week. Now, event finish history. With the caveat that we've talked about, this event has had weaker fields. It's a different format, three courses, 3 days, 2 days on Pebble if you get there, 65 in ties after 3 days. There's no cut here. 156 player pro-am, 80 player pro-am, all that kind of stuff. $20 million purse, 42 of the top 50 versus, you know, usually 10 to 12 of the top 50. All that said, here's group of players to consider. Players with three top 15 finishes the last 5 years. Cantlay, Day, and Spieth, and Homa. Two, Hoagie with a win. Hostler, Malnati, Mav, McCarthy, Mitchell, and Nick Taylor. So keep all that in mind. You got some guys who are playing some decent golf who also like this golf course. Try to put that together as best you possibly can and hope to find something. Now, most years that we do this tournament, every year we've done in the past where we've done these course fit things, we've said don't follow it. You're only going to get two rounds max. You only get half the tournament on the host course. Well, now you get three, guaranteed. So, what do you need to know about how strokes are gained on this golf course? Well, you tend to gain more strokes putting on this golf course by a few percentage points than any other course on the PGA Tour. Typically, you're in that 30, 31, 32% range. This golf course is at 34. You're going to gain your strokes tee to green at a two-thirds clip, a little bit less than two-thirds. So off the tee doesn't mean as much. Around the green means more than you think because you miss the green a lot, right? So small targets, you're going to miss the green more. If you're not hitting greens, that means you're going to need to be able to get up and down. So that's why that factors in here. This is looking at the average for the top 25 finishers in the last 5 years of the event. So that doesn't necessarily tell me what the best players are doing. They're hitting the target more often. They're not saving their rear, getting up and down all day. And then approach plays 34%. I would actually say it's probably closer to 40%. So that all said, potential fits in the field include Eric Cole, Davis Riley, Adam Hadwin, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jason Day, and Keith Mitchell. So I keep coming back to Keith Mitchell. I bet him here last year, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to bet him here again. I'm probably going to go after Adam Shank. I'm going to go after Denny. I'm going to go after Brian Harman. I'm probably going to go longer plays. I hadn't put in anything when we did the show yesterday. I kind of wanted to see what the weather was. Now that I know, I'm definitely going longer. And if I don't hit it, so what? So be it. But that's where I'm going this week. I'm going long. I'm going to ride that trend. And it might turn out that we get Scottie Scheffler who wins by a half dozen. I don't know. But everything suggests to me with the weather forecast and just kind of some of the stuff the players aren't used to about this event compared to the others that they might play, that we should get some weird results this week. And I think that's kind of exciting, also kind of scary, but exciting to have that out there. So take your chances this week. I mentioned a number of guys that are worth looking at that for various reasons, whether they're wind, they're playing well currently, a little bit of each. I would assess that in that fashion. I would try to put together, I wouldn't necessarily discount good finishes at this course, but just keeping in mind that's not as important as other weeks because the format is different, field's different, field quality is different. So just don't harp on that as much. Think about players maybe who like this course, but more importantly, who you might like in the wind and who might be playing well now, who might like Putnam Poa, for example. So take a Sam Burns out of it. He's Bermuda Burns. Take him out. He doesn't like that. Same thing with Wyndham Clark. Take him out. Doesn't like that kind of thing. So, you know, then again, he won the U.S. Open. Won it. But anyhow, you got to think about that kind of stuff this week and maybe little bits and chunks, and you're going to take big guesses. There are not huge edges here this week. You're just guessing. I don't think there are a whole lot of players that point to where you go, all right, you absolutely have to have that guy. Even if you like someone like Xander, who's been playing great, doesn't win often, so you don't get a lot of win equity there. If you're thinking about like a JT Poston, who's been playing great, he also doesn't win very often. So maybe you want to think about those types of guys, not necessarily trying to win, have your longer tickets, but go after fives and tens with those guys. You're getting a guaranteed four rounds, so you're not, you know, you got a chance to backdoor it, depending on how the weather works out. The other thing to keep in mind, too, on those derivative bets, 10s and 20s, is you might want to think about this live. We don't know the tee times yet. We'll know that this afternoon, their time. So really, it's like 8 o'clock our time. I think they put the times out. Once we know those times, you'll know Thursday, Friday, right? But with the weather forecast probably ever-changing Saturday and Sunday, this may be a great week to do some live betting, especially on those derivative plays. Because if you get someone who is out there when maybe the weather's a little calmer, maybe it works out, it's a little calmer in the morning, you could have someone go out there, put up a huge number, weather turns, everyone else struggles. Not that they win, but they find their way into the top 10 or top 20. So be very vigilant about that this week if you want to play those types of things. Otherwise, I frankly would try to stay clear of that unless you're thinking about a player who's playing great lately for that doesn't win often for a top 10 or 20 bet. Beyond that, whole lot of dice rolling this week, really. There are a lot better tournaments to bet than this one for a variety of reasons this year, but keep all that in mind, and hopefully you do very well. Tomorrow we will talk about Liv Myakova. We will talk about the Bahrain Championship and get you ready for the rest of the week in golf. If you have any questions for me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky, @RyanBallenge, join Golf News Net for $40 a year. Get access to all of our tools and weekly content. Thanks so much for your support. We will be back tomorrow with another show right here on The Press.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.